Good afternoon, everyone. This is Rochelle Sparrow. Welcome to my new show, the Rochelle Sparrow Psychic Connection. And we have with us today Elizabeth Galen Baker. But before I introduce her and her wonderful work, I would like to tell you a little bit about me. Since this is a brand new show, you're not going to know too much about me. My website is www.rochellesparrow.com, and what I am is a trained therapist as well as a psychic trance channel. And how I explain that to people is I work with my guides, Akbar, Celestial Waters, and Thunder Sky, who come into my crown chakra and literally give me words which I feel. I sensory feel while I'm in a trance state. And the words tell me about your vibration, how you are creating your life from the inside out. The other thing that the guides do is they send me energies, and the energies are for me to interpret as well. And at the beginning of every show, what I do is I answer one of your questions. Michelle has emailed me a question today that I'd love to answer for her. And she writes, I have been stuck on my job for 10 years and have applied for jobs I am well qualified for, but for some reason it's like I can't move forward. Now I am considering going back to school for guidance and counseling. Thanks a bunch, Michelle. Let's see what the guides have to say for her. Michelle, you are incorrect in one way, and the energy is fashion. So what they mean by that, in one way, one fashion, that you are gifted, it feels like an accountant, that your ability, it feels like to handle money, but this feels like large sums of money. It also feels like categories of money is well established. Okay, so what they're saying here is that you have experience in regards to this area, and that your being can develop, it feels like CPA, as well as financial advisor to other individuals. I'm getting stocks, it feels like bonds, as well as insurance, who want, it feels like direction for their income to move forward within. So your doubt regarding, it feels like your ability or your experience, and the energy that they're giving me here is that it's a feeling of a sense of not validating your own abilities or worth. So what they're saying here is validate, of course, your past experience, know yourself as expert, and how to develop and handle money. So trust your past experience, past abilities, and move forward. They're saying in that degree or in that field for yourself to become even more successful. And they're giving me the energy of legitimate, and let's see what they mean by this. Legitimize yourself, it feels like, through schooling to become, it feels like, financial advisor. So something in the upper echelon of that profession you would do very well with it. So thank you very much for your question. And today we have a wonderful guest. She is Elizabeth Galen Baker, and she has done several documentaries, When Buffalo Roam, The Trail of Painted Ponies. She's currently working on a screenplay right now, and she has won awards for her documentary. And I'm very interested in talking to her about how she has developed spiritually along with her project in the media. She's also was very instrumental in developing the film industry in Santa Fe, and she's a writer as well. She has written Wild Rescues for Animal Planet and was an associate editor for Body, Mind, and Spirit. She's also a founder of Spirit Matters on the Internet. That's an e-zine that everybody can tune into on the Internet. If you are interested in emailing Elizabeth, today. You can reach her at Elizabeth. You want to give out that?
Yes, I can be of some help to you. Hello, my dear.
Hello, hello. I am so grateful that you're on this show today. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, I'm so delighted to be invited. You know, I listened to you answering Michelle's questions. I've been with you answering some questions of my own, and I just can't praise you highly enough for the clarity of the channeling that you do. And so, you know, I really want to thank you for inviting me on, particularly on this wonderful new show that you're launching here. I'm very flattered.
Well, I thank you. I really appreciate you being on, and I appreciate your work with Spirit. And I know that your work is so tied in with the media and Spirit together that I'm really very interested in having you speak to our audience about that process. Because, of course, it's a joint psychological process. It's always a mind-body-spirit process, as you well know, in developing these kinds of projects. So I am so grateful that you're here with us.
Well, my email address is ElizabethG11. ElizabethG11, but the number 1, at Comcast, comcast.net. ElizabethG11 at comcast.net.
Thank you, sir.
So where shall we begin?
Well, let's begin at the beginning. Why don't you share a little bit about your journey? Because you've had a fascinating one.
I have had a fascinating one, and it started very early in life. I got separated from my mother. My mother got ill with tuberculosis upon my birth, and I got separated from her, and so went through all, it's like I wanted to rush everything into this lifetime. I went through all of the separation pangs and the abandonment pangs that can happen when that happens to a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get reunited really with my family until I was about 18 months old. I was raised by my auntie, and then my mom came back, and as I have explained to you once before, I developed a kind of unwillingness to be absolutely sure as to which path to follow. And because I couldn't tell if my auntie was my mother or my mother was my mother. So that, I was very relieved later in my spiritual training when I fell in love with the saying, make no arbitrary choice of the way. Because I felt like I had learned that one very early. And then I was in a rather, what would seem like to us now, which is why I suggest to people that they never judge what has happened in their life, because we have too little information to really understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. It looked like I was in a tragic accident. I physically was in a tragic accident. But without that accident, my life would have taken very different turns, because it happened when I was about 2.5. I had just begun to speak. I had a very strong psychological and physical trauma. It was a blow to the head. And I didn't speak. I wasn't in a coma. I was only in a coma for 3 days. But I just didn't speak again for a year. And then when I started speaking, I could not pronounce words correctly. I would be able to hear them in my head, but I wouldn't be able to say them. So I was a very pretty little girl, very outgoing, who was isolated by this accident, so that when I started speaking, which would be my nature, people would just start laughing. So I became very cautious about speaking, and that inability to really pronounce words correctly lasted all the way through elementary school and into middle school. And I really didn't get very, very, very relaxed with speaking again until after some real spiritual training when, by the time I was in my 30s. So it lasted a long, long time. And, but it is the reason, I'm quite convinced now, that it was that accident that separated me. I don't know if I had a near-death experience at 3. I would assume so. And it separated me from the normal type of childhood. So I noticed that most of the people in Cleburne, Texas, where I, you know, Fort Worth, Texas, Cleburne, Texas, in that area, that most of them had very normal childhoods, and they, you know, ended up marrying the football hero and settling down. And I've gotten back in touch with a lot of them now that so much healing has taken place for me, and found out that almost no one left that small town, whereas I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I was very, very taken by racial issues in Texas, and I left there. I was a dancer. I started dancing to overcome not being able to speak properly.
That makes sense. And the other thing that I'm thinking about as you're talking, which is so interesting to me, is that you didn't have a direction to follow externally. So there was no clear sense of who was the mother, who was the energy to help contain you, to help support you as you were developmentally growing.
Oh, and Rochelle, it's even worse than that. My mother got very upset with me when I didn't know her upon seeing her again. And then, believe it or not, with all of this going on, my dad died. My dad, who was really my hero, died when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
So I didn't have any, my mother and my brother were very close. I was really the odd man out. I didn't have any direction at all.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, because in that kind of a situation, it's akin to a lot of kids who don't have the direction, who don't have the support, whether they're neglected or abused or abandoned or some other circumstance, emotionally or otherwise, that leaves them adrift, that they do have to figure out, well, what is going to contain me? Who can I rely on for support? So those external factors that happen to you automatically drive somebody inward. And it sounds like that was part of your process, especially if you couldn't, if you felt uncomfortable speaking.
And instead of going under it, I say you go under it or you go over it. Instead of going under it and becoming terribly shy and it was the same lack of self-esteem, but instead I went over bravado. I started dancing in my first recital when I was about 4 years old. I was a natural performer, and I just made up my mind. I put all my focus on dancing, tried to pretend that the fact that I didn't have any dates and didn't have any friends and didn't have a mother and didn't have very much of anything at the time didn't bother me. I was going to be a big star in New York. And that, what I didn't understand at the time is that when you focus on something like that and you really start daydreaming it and visualizing it, I mean, I'd never heard the word visualizing, but that's what I did. And so, of course, what Spirit did was keep opening doors for me to go through that actually led me to being, by the time I was, I say, 20 years old, I had won a ballet scholarship to Texas Christian University. I was in love with television. I had my own little television show by the time. I mean, I was, it was amazing what I accomplished. And I ended up going to New York and being a performer for 3 years. But it was done through what we would now call visualization, because I had no connections to New York or to the performance world. All I had was dance lessons.
Well, that is just amazing. But, you know, the other thing that's coming to me as I'm listening to you talk is that one of the things that kids need, of course, is recognition and validation. So because of your ability to use what came to you in visualization through your imagination. And who knows, I believe that is part of our will. It's a part of what we want. But I also believe that it's spirit talking through us. So as you're talking, I imagine that spirit supplied those images through you to help you get the validation and recognition and to help you communicate the way that you needed to communicate to people.
It's so interesting to me because when I left Cleveland, I left and I didn't look back over my shoulder and I never went back. And my high school graduation class searched for me for years until they found me on the internet because of the films and pleaded with me to come back to Cleveland because they had all missed me and wondered what had happened. It never even occurred to me that they would think twice about me ever again. So I have gone back to Cleveland, and now what I'm being told by everybody, boys and girls, or men and women now, I guess, is that I seem so focused, I seem so sure of myself, I seem so confident that no one had any, everybody had crushes on me, but no one had any nerve to ask me for a date. And I just seem so much more sophisticated than anyone there. I just think that's hysterical because all I wanted was to have a date or two. I didn't want to be, you know, this overachiever that scared everybody, but apparently I was. I have found it fascinating, and I wish there was a way. Yes, absolutely. Spirit sends messages and opens doors. If it's the right path for you, those doors swing open. That explains how I became a associate editor of a national magazine when I had never even written anything until much later in life. And it also really explains how all these doors opened and got me to New York to perform. It's why all those books I read about writers were books that I loved earlier. All of these messages come to us, but if children do not have someone there externally to tell them that they are valuable and that these are messages coming from spirit, then there's just no way of knowing that. I wish there was a way to reach young people more. In fact, as we get into this conversation, you'll see that there is a part of me that's trying to do that now. I have a project where I'm trying to reach young people.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we can get into right now. And the other thing that I think is so interesting is that as you were talking about the doors being opened by spirit, I have decided to frame it this way in the past just couple of days. It's a type of technology. And it's a technology that I think that we all need to become attuned to, is that higher vibration that we can work with in terms of our energy. Because it occurred to me in the last week that the way that God communicates with us, the source communicates with us and through us, is through energy. That's the language. It's through energy. And if we could accept that energy through source and echo back from us with our will and our intent to source our own energy, that's what we're going to create.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. It is through energy and through feelings. And I was, by the time I was in my 20s, I was getting closer to really understanding, even if I didn't realize I was listening to spirit. I went to New York. I had a 3-year career. I did off-Broadway. I did national television. A lot of heady stuff for a little girl from Cleveland, Texas,
yeah,
with no, you know, with no one but spirit, you know, guiding kind of thing. I mean, I had no idea at the time how outrageous it was that I got to do that. But within 3 years, spirit, and this has happened several times in my life. I've gotten someplace and just been crazy about how much fun I'm having doing it and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, I feel the still small voice within, this little tap on my shoulder where, and the way it came in New York is that I opened off Broadway, you know, and had the crowd loved it and they were clapping and da 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 da. And all of a sudden, all of that was done. The curtain was down for the final time. And all I was doing was going into the dressing room and taking the makeup off. And suddenly it became so clear to me. I had a moment of clarity where I thought, this is off Broadway, but even if it were Broadway or, you know, some other wonderful performance before the president or the king of England or something, it's still, when it's over, you just walk in and take off your makeup. I thought this is what I wanted. I don't think this is what I'm really looking for. And I had the courage for the first time, and certainly you'll hear other times when I had the courage to walk away from something that I thought was the most important thing in the world to me, and keep looking for spirit in other ways.
That is amazing.
And I didn't even know that really, at that point, I didn't know. I defined it then as love, but I didn't realize that it was the love that I have grown to have for my source. And so what it did was it led me to Europe, and I married a man that I had met in New York in Europe. I had that experience again in childbirth. That was when I really had an ecstasy experience of spirit, when I was giving birth to my first son, and in came angels, and they had harps and, you know, silver bubbles out my fingers and rainbows and all of this wonderful. It was just an ecstatic experience.
That's beautiful.
And every time anyone would say baby for the next year, I mean, I was one of the first 12 people in women in the country to have natural childbirth, Lamaze childbirth. But I thought everybody had that experience with childbirth, and of course, that isn't the way. Even if people have natural childbirth, they don't have angels and rainbows and harps and music and all of that. But all of a sudden, that was then that another tap on the shoulder. I ended my marriage because I realized that was another tap on the shoulder, and then I was 12 years for a single mom. When the boys went off to college, or the men went off to college, I asked myself what I really wanted to do. The answer came to me very strongly, film. And it took me 3 years to get a little job on a film crew in L.A., but only 2 weeks this is what I mean about spirit opening doors. It only took me 2 weeks to become assistant to the director, and then he took me into the industry with him, and I worked on 11 feature films as a script supervisor or as a unit production manager. And then again came the tap on the shoulder from Spirit. Look, you've learned to make films now. I know you're having a wonderful time, but do you really want to hang around here and make bad films, or can we continue with this journey to make some good ones?
Wow.
So I walked away, started writing, had never written, but knew I had to write better films. Hmm. Went through the whole process with writing, and finally got a very strange phone call at 6 o'clock in the morning from a Lakota elder who said, there's a slaughter of buffalo at Yellowstone National Park, and Spirit is counting on you to stop it. What are you going to do? So I started my first documentary film. And
what is amazing to me is that as you're talking about love and how that emotion is so strong for you. And I think that a lot of people want to get there, and for them as well. So they want to help themselves intensify that emotion within themselves to heal themselves and to heal their families and the globe as well. But what's so interesting about you and is your unique ability to trust that love and to go with that tap on the shoulder. Because I think that a lot of people strive to be that open and they really struggle for it. But to get into that place of being able to say, well, I'm done now, I'm going. And to have that kind of courage to make the several different moves, not just one, but for you it's been several, is just an amazing thing. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what enables you to just go?
Something happened when the horse kicked me in the head. You know, I was 2.5 or 3 years old, and I got tied on a horse so I wouldn't fall off, and I couldn't fall off, so I fell backwards.
Okay, you're serious.
Spooked the horse, and the horse started running, and the horse hooves started, you know, hitting me in the back of the head.
Wow, okay.
I don't know if, although I did a book recently, in this book job that I have, I did a book recently on children with near-death experiences, and they talk about how those children are so unusual because they don't think of consequences in
right.
the normal way. I mean, most people would like to trust that much, but the first thing they say is, well, I don't have any money. I can't afford to do that. Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
I've never been that person. It never occurs to me that if spirit is telling me to do something, that somehow, some way, the money won't be there. I just don't think like that. I don't have the framework of consciousness that has been the popular framework. How's your retirement fund? Where are you going to be when you're 65? You know, are you ever going to find someone else to love you if you walk away from this? Are you going to be able? I'm in a different arena, and I don't know. I think you could jump.
It is a jump, and it's interesting,
you know,
to me, because I'm getting energy-wise, as you're talking, I feel like a door, or more literally, it feels like a portal to me. So it's a round space that opened up for you to allow that dimension to become more accessible to the point where it's accessible all the time to you. So it's not a matter of even a leap. It's just there.
Well, right. What I mean is I live there, but I think that most people, and you know, Rochelle, you can check this and see if I'm right or wrong. I have no idea, but I have a feeling that I was chosen. I think we're chosen with work to do on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that this was part of my work to set this example for people, because I meet a lot of people. Some people, of course, just think I'm nutty as a fruitcake that I've lived my life in this way, but other people are touched and they start changing their lives.
Right.
So you might want to check that. I have no idea if that's true, but I have a feeling that none of this happens. You know, you and I both know, and probably everyone listening to this show knows, that nothing happens by accident. I think this was part of my work on the planet.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and that's what my guides are affirming for both of us, is that that is correct. And what they're saying is, or what they're giving me, is that attunement is so important. So in other words, people have responded in two ways, with fear, from what you're describing, as well as with wanting to be attuned to that energy. So what they're saying here is that you're modeling that energy, is allowing people to attune themselves to the energy so that they can feel more of what you're experiencing for themselves.
And I was told one time that I have the strongest guidance imaginable. And my reply was, it's this strong by this time in my life because I always person, and I always do it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very important thing, that if everybody has this kind of guidance, and that if you will start really listening to it, that it will get stronger and stronger and come faster and faster. When you first start listening and doing what it tells you, that inner source tells you, shares with you, then maybe it only comes once every 2 years or every 2 months or something. But if you really pay attention and really get devoted to following those signals, they will come every minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly, you know, it's very strong guidance, and it's wonderful.
It is wonderful, and I think that more and more people want to have that accessibility within themselves, to have that guidance work through them. And you're modeling this guidance and this trust and this love, and I think love is the communication here, so that's the operative word. Because when you love, of course, you're going to receive that love back. And that's been your whole experience, and that's what you're attuning people to. So it's no wonder that you're in film, that is your medium, because then think of the masses. What a technology that people can become attuned to what you're presenting in terms of energy. That is just fabulous.
Well, that's been extraordinarily exciting. This first little documentary that I did, When Buffalo Roam, I did it on thin air, and the way I seem to do everything. And it hasn't completely stopped the issue, but when the Lakota elder called me, they had just slaughtered in that 3 month winter period, they had just slaughtered 1,185 buffalo.
Wow.
That was 1997. Since then, they sometimes get up to 100, but certainly nothing like 1,185. And then last year, Congressman Tom Udall, who of course has walked in the footsteps of his father, he actually got my film, and now there's federal legislation that is hoping to be passed. It's been up a couple of years and lost by just a few votes. He found my film, and he got in touch with me and said he was deeply moved, and he was taking it to Capitol Hill.
Wow.
So here is 8 minutes that mobilized Native Americans to walk across 577 miles and do a ceremony at Yellowstone. It's done a tremendous, aside from winning a film festival, it's done a tremendous amount to stop the slaughter of the buffalo at Yellowstone National Park. And so that's why I've had the feeling that I've been a healer a lot of times before, but that my big job is healing.
Mm-hmm.
And to do it in this way, because all of a sudden you've got, if you're sitting in a theater or you're sitting in your home watching a film, you've got feeling, you've got sound, you've got dialogue. It's the most exciting thing. And I was at a screening in LA after I watched this film. I mean, after I won the film festival, I was at a screening, and I got bored with the film, which I almost never do, and I walked out in the middle of it, and there was a paranormal it had been a spooky film, and so they had a paranormal giving a few words before the film started, and there he was. Now, what are the chances of this happening? There he was, standing alone outside the theater, and I walked over and I said, instead of talking to us about how ghosts could communicate, why didn't you communicate with some ghosts inside the theater or some spirits inside the theater? And he said, well, he hesitated. He said, well, no one asked me to. And I said, well, I'm asking you to right now. I was amazed at myself, but that's what I did. And he said, well, there's a woman standing right beside you. She's a little bit shorter. He didn't know my name. He said, she's a little bit shorter. Her name is Elizabeth. Her hair is back in the bun. She has very high cheekbones, and she's been passed over for about 11 years. Do you know who that is? And I gasped, and I said, wow, that's my mom. What does my mom have to say today? And he said, your mother says to tell you to run home as fast as you can and start packing your bags and boxes, because she and the angels are moving you to Santa Fe, New Mexico, because you have a big job to do. Mm-hmm. Well, I almost fainted. I'd never been to Santa Fe. I didn't know anything about Santa Fe. I didn't know anyone in Santa Fe or New Mexico, and I just thought that was the wildest thing I'd ever heard, even in my life. So imagine my surprise the next day when the phone rang, and it was the people who had given me the award in New York saying, we're trying to do a film festival in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Do you know anyone that lives there? And then a short time after that, like within hours, the phone rang again, and it was a woman that I had done shows with in L.A. saying, I've just rented a house in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Do you know of anyone who might go with me to Santa Fe and share the house?
Amazing.
And I just sort of gulped and said, well, I guess I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico now. And here I go. So I packed my bags and boxes and moved, seemed outrageous at the time, moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Wow.
And floundered around here for about a year before I suddenly realized that what I was supposed to be doing was to start a film industry here. And so I'm really working very hard on a project now that would include kids, include film and television. And I have already been very instrumental in getting legislation passed to make films here. And now I'm just trying to get the final pieces in place so that I can make films and write and start raising consciousness by by making feature films and television in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Can you tell us about your project right now? I know that you're working on several.
Well, it's a very exciting project. I'm trying to start a sustainable indigenous industry here. Instead of, we've gotten the legislation passed, but for some reason, the people who, in the union, the people in the film office and whatnot, they're continuing to go out and try to bring films and television here. And of course, the only competition that New Mexico had was New Orleans, and that certainly got, New Orleans certainly got put on a back burner. But what I'm trying to do is to build a sustainable industry here, to build a digital, state-of-the-art digital film and television studio that not only can we make films and television shows from here, not just Westerns, but all kinds of shows, just like having a back lot with a New York street on it. That kind of situation, create that here, and then have go out and find the indigenous kids, the Spanish kids, the inner city kids all over the country who really have an aptitude for the film industry, the television industry, but don't have a prayer of getting in it, and create the mentor apprentice program so that we can train kids so that when we're gone, this studio in Santa Fe can still be a transforming consciousness type of center. And it would be just so very exciting to be able to do this.
Well, it's so needed, and it's so incredible to be able to offer that ability to a whole population that doesn't get recognized. And it's so interesting to me as you're talking, because I'm just hearing the echoes, of course, back to your childhood. And it's amazing to me. Here you are in high school and you're coming across so confident. And of course, you're feeling inside that you just want a date.
That's right.
But however, you know, people are really perceiving you from the outside, and you're presenting this image of total confidence. So here you are again working with the inside and the recognition of how you felt as you were growing up, and being able to connect with how you felt through a whole population of kids out there who really need that kind of validation and recognition.
You know, right now, what they have is drugs. Right now, what they have is getting into trouble. What they have is nothing. We went out and worked with Velarde and took art and dance and performance into that little school. They were the lowest of the low in New Mexico, only 150 kids in it. But what happened there is that suddenly their grades were off the map. They were doing so well. They were putting on performances that were mind-boggling. These are little kids whose, you know, most of their families have one or more members in jail. They've got nothing. And they suddenly they wouldn't stay home. They had the worst truancy in the state. They wouldn't stay home even if they were sick, because they were learning everything through art, through performance. I know, isn't it amazing? And
it is.
You know, I just know who these kids are because I was one of them.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So you could really resonate on a level that a lot of people do not have the experience of being able to, which is really very cool. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about, is there some affiliation with the indigenous Native Americans that you feel that you have? Is there connection?
You know, I think I think in another lifetime I was in charge of the buffalo, and I died of a broken heart when everybody started killing buffalo, and I begged Mother Nature as I was dying to let me come back and be associated with the buffalo again. Because
okay.
when this buffalo
okay.
thing started, mm-hmm. up until that time, I'd never even seen a buffalo, and I had never been around Native Americans. But suddenly, when I was associate editor of Body, Mind, Spirit, I was able to interview a Native American writer, and he suddenly invited me to come to a Native American workshop, or a workshop to learn Native American ways and to learn how to build a medicine wheel. And I did, and I got chosen to be the fire. You know, there's water, earth, fire, and air, and I got chosen to be the fire, and I was given a golden ribbon to represent the fire, and I put it in a velvet bag, and suddenly I was invited to go and interview Native Americans at the Far Knowledge Conference, where when the Lakotas decided that they would start announcing ancient prophecies, break all the rules, and let people in on ancient prophecies, because we were coming to the end times and all the races needed to be knitted together. And all of these themes, racism, union, peace on earth, all of these themes have played so strongly through my life. And I responded immediately and went there and started. Spirit Matters doesn't still exist on the internet, but started that magazine on the internet so that I could feed this interview, these interviews, and this information about end times out to as large an audience as I could find. And I took this golden ribbon. I mean, Native Americans have a terrible reputation about not letting white women into that circle. And here I strolled in with this velvet bag and golden ribbon, and Standing Elk, who had put that conference together, took me right in. And then Looks for Buffalo was the elder who called me in L.A. and set me on this path of making this documentary. And that whole world opened up so that now my partner here in Santa Fe is Paul Rainbird, who is a Native American. We are not affiliated with a tribe, but he and I have dreamed this vision together, and then faith brought us together, and we realized we were dreaming the same vision, and we are trying to put this together here so that he would have accessibility to all the tribes in the country.
Wow.
And
you know, as you're talking, I'm just like getting this vision. It's that echo again from us to the source back to us, and how that just covers all the dimensions, because I did get, as you were speaking, the energy was clearly a regression energy from a past life, as you were talking about the experience of remembering your praying to Mother Nature when the buffalo were being killed and you were dying. So that echoing back again to this lifetime and the connections that you have made, especially now in this period when we have to make a choice in terms of what direction that we're going to go into as a unified whole in terms of humanity. Are we going to survive? Because the only way we're going to survive is, of course, is unified.
Yes, of course. And correct me if you think I'm wrong, but in my mind, the only way we're going to survive is if we give up security.
Yes.
We can't hold on to security and survive, because
that's right.
We have to hold on to source. Source is our security. But most people do not realize that. They think that their 9-to-5 job is security. It's absurd.
That is absolutely correct, because one of the things that I had gotten, I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago, is that the end is the same, and the end is going to be independent sovereignty. So that's, the end is the same, no matter what road we choose, with the two visions that I had gotten. One of them was war, and one of them was action for peace. And we're a little bit more leaning towards the trajectory right now of action for peace, which is a great thing. But the end is the same regardless of what path we choose, and the end is independent sovereignty.
And you know, I saw this wonderful, my son and grandbaby and his wife and I went to this little circus last night, and I expected it to just be terrible. And you know what? It was absolutely great, because it was a circus, a teeny little circus, where they sold popcorn in the intermission, and then they went back and got on the trapeze. It was that small, but I was reminded watching trapeze flying through the air. That's the image we need to keep.
That's right.
All we need to do is know that that person on the other trapeze never fails, never drops us, and we need to let go and jump. Because otherwise, this world, this 9-to-5, this insanity is going down. And it's going to either go down easy or it's going to go down hard. But
That's right. Is
not going to, you know, the end of time doesn't mean the end of the planet. What it means is the end of 9-to-5 insanity.
Yeah, it means a change. And we're going to have that change regardless. It's going to be there, and we could choose how we're going to change. But for me, example, I'd like to go the easy way.
Yeah, me too. And people say, my God, I was just with a guy last night who said, how on earth have you traveled all over the world? Well, you know, Rochelle, that's a great question, because money has never been a part of it for me. Here I am now trying to raise money for this project, but I don't go out to try to raise money for me, and somehow I've had one of the most wonderful lives. I've been all over the country. I've been to Europe for 3 years. You know, I mean, I've done things that most people only dream of doing who have retirement funds, who have a lot of money in the bank. And it was a simple answer for me. I said, well, I just followed Spirit. And Spirit was nice enough to take me to Europe and nice enough to take me to Hawaii for 8 years and nice enough to take me to San Francisco and nice enough to take me to L.A. and nice enough to take me to New York. You know what I mean? It's like, I have no idea how I did it.
Yeah, but you all, it doesn't have to be, it's not even a question of it for you.
Right.
Because that would be an intellectual process and you're not there.
No, that's right.
And it's so cool.
Yeah.
Because you're able to make that quantum leap into that emotional space that just accelerates and makes things happen. And that trust is what is our ability. I mean, it's our tool. It's our technology, that trust and love. And that energy to send back to the source so the source can send it back to you and you get to go to Europe.
Yeah, you know, the truth is that I trust source more than I trust anything I'm seeing with my own eyes. Anything, you know, I've been in that ecstasy of feeling. I know that's the only thing that exists.
Wow.
And I know that that is our natural habitat, and we've been missing it, but I think we're coming up. I'm so hopeful about this time. I think we are coming up to a point where more and more people are going to drop what they're doing and grab that trapeze.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the point of this show. I think that's the point of Don Newsom and his availability to the world through his shows and his radio broadband availability to us.
And we should really take a minute to thank him.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. With great gratitude and love. And to all the people out there that are working together to make this energy happen so that more and more, and you too, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes. To help people become attuned to that new energy, which is what we need to do. That's the point. That's the point, I think, of the calendar, the Mayan calendar prophecies of the Earth ending in 2012. I think that's just the message, is that we need to make some changes in terms of what we're going to do. And it, as you're saying, it's not even a question of thought. It's not the thought anymore. It's just the doing and the action of just moving into that space and emotion of trust and love and allowing it to work through us.
And leaving no room for doubt. You know, there's just not any room for doubt. You really, I can see that, you know, people in high school, people have met me and said, wow, you're intense. But it's just that I'm intently focused on that path.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, after all of this checkered past that I'm talking to you about, I, in this moment, no matter what happens, no matter what form the project takes, no matter what, I have never been so happy.
Oh.
I have just never felt such joy about my life, about who I am, about how deeply the deep love that Source has given me. I am so grateful and I am so happy. And it's amazing because it's not based on anything. It's not based on, oh, I got the project done. It's not based on, gee, I'll get to do another film. It's not based on anything except just the pure joy of Source.
Right. Just that connection alone.
So.
Well, we got to end, but I wanted to share with audience again a way to get a hold of you. This has been Elizabeth Galen Baker, a wonderful, wonderful spirit who decided to bless me with sharing her time with me and with you this evening. So I so appreciate having you on and attuning people to that wonderful energy that you're talking about. And if people want to get a hold of you, they can get a hold of you by emailing you at
Elizabeth. Just spelled the normal way, Elizabeth, G as in girl, that stands for Galen, and 1111, a wonderful unbreakable number, Elizabeth G11 at comcast.net.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you again, and thank you, Don, and thank you everyone out there for tuning in, and I so appreciate you.
Blessings to you, Rochelle.
Oh, I thank you. Bye-bye, everyone, and we'll see you next time.